Okay, we'll call our workshop recap and first quarterly meeting to order. First item will be roll call.
All are present, we have a forum.
Consideration of minutes. Has everybody had a chance to look through the minutes? Are there any additions, corrections? If not, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
It's been moved by Kim. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been seconded by Lee. Any discussion? Any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same way. Minutes have been considered. Treasurer's report.
Everybody got a copy of it? I don't have anything in particular to mention about it. If you have questions, I'll... give me the best answer.
I guess I have a question, and maybe it's just my confusion with the forum seeing it for the first time. I see things like, just start, for instance, where you have the Arthur Township.
Which page are you on, Jason?
Page one of this custom detail transaction.
Oh, it's when she emailed
to us. Emailed to us.
Oh,
Arthur Township, the $5.
Well, it's got like four different lines on it. So it's got like Arthur Township, and then it's got two different accounts, like an invoice and then a payment with it, but it's three different lines for undeposited and kept two different lines for accounts receivable. Undeposited funds and accounts received. I don't understand. So, like this, these things where it says, oops, you know, it's Arthur Township, CAS, unorganized, and then undeposited, and then.
This is a QuickBooks thing, and this is a form that I haven't used before.
Okay.
And I have questioned why they put it in there that way, too, but it's just been a deposit.
Okay. It's just weird the way it comes up.
It's an internal account in QuickBooks.
Yeah.
Where, the way it handles the flow of money through it. It puts everything in undeposited funds.
Okay. So the QuickBooks just takes the one and then puts it into a different account and gives you four different lines for one simple transaction.
Right, because it's like undeposited and then accounts,
unorganized and undeposited
funds. This is what it actually was.
Okay.
This is what that actually was.
Okay.
Unorganized.
Okay, so it was unorganized and then...
And goes to undeposited funds.
And it goes to undeposited funds, and then it gives you two lines of.
I'm going to work on a different report for you next time than that, because that is very confusing.
Yeah, okay. I figured it was something like that, but it's just. Mm-hmm. I can understand why there's multiple lines for payroll and that things, but the deposit, I was.
It's like that on every township deposit?
Yeah.
Anything else on the treasurer's report? Questions? Is there a motion to accept the treasurer's report?
Also moved.
Second.
Who moved?
Leon.
Any discussion? Any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same way. Motion to accept the treasurer's report passes. Attorney's report.
Step back to the minutes for a second.
Yes.
If you'll notice the minutes for the December 23rd meeting, they're in a different format. I experimented with using an AI generator. So that is written by AI, and I just go through it and I put in the specifics of the motions. And all the summaries and everything is generated by AI. The one that says draft the process.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
What date?
23rd.
December 23rd. The one that's a draft, the process that we did.
Well, my comment would be, I like the organization. It looks clean, it's easy to read and easy to follow if you're looking for feedback.
Yeah. It gives a lot more detail than I used to put into my, but it also, you know, that was a two-hour meeting and we have a three-page report on it.
So, I mean, if you're like looking for a thought on using that in the future, I would.
Yeah, it's good. Looks good.
It's good. It's neat. It's clean. Yeah.
And this was the AI listening to the recording and working it?
Yeah.
A lot of places are going that way now.
Yeah.
So.
And the benefit of that is I can put that online within hours.
Yep.
Do we need a motion to
Not really.
All right. Yeah. No, that would be a good thing.
Just wanted to know what's going on so I could maybe get some feedback on.
Okay. Barb had one thing she wants to
mention. Yeah, I forgot to mention, we talked about a scanner for all the receipts and stuff left, and we're still working on that. We should get that in place. I have all of the receipts here, or the invoices and stuff here, if anybody wants to look at them. But next time I should, by the time we get that, I should be able to print out a report for you, like a spreadsheet with all those invoices on that spreadsheet, so you wouldn't have to look at each paper.
I've been waiting for 4 weeks from Best Buy for a scanner, so I may need to go elsewhere, too.
We got some pretty reasonable ones on Amazon, I noticed. Some Brother brands and some pretty good brands.
I got a couple of the Brothers. They're like $370 or something like that. That's a better, pretty good one for him.
This one wasn't quite that much, but it was just a one pager where you just insert.
This is a document scanner.
You just
50 pages in it.
Oh, yeah. So I told Barb one day when I talked to her, you can just, you know, write that check out, put your whatever on your receipt, and scan that receipt in and just be done, you know. So be nice to get her something.
Yeah.
Be good to get going.
Well, and then it would be easier for you to look at it, too.
Right.
Oh, see, I thought we had a motion or whatever.
I don't.
To pick,
I just wanted to let them know I didn't forget.
Okay.
I had that down in the full business.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Where I thought I
saw it. Oh, I jumped.
She's excited to have us again.
A new toy.
Attorney's report. Not really a whole lot. RFP was finished and sent to Larry. I made all updated changes. I guess as you guys know, I spent the last few days in DC, where all the counties in the nation or everybody in the nation is facing property tax backlash from everybody. I heard from, I guess, Association of Counties officials from Florida, Ohio, and Texas, and there's all either within the legislature or initiated measures there to get rid of property tax. They don't have any other sources of income, so that'll be really interesting to see if that happens. They don't have the flush state like we do with money, so if they get rid of it, they don't really have any recourse for coming up with the money. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in those other states to see what's going to happen. But it seems like there's just a national push right now. It's kind of interesting because the last few years when I've been going out to this conference, it does seem like the issues that we have had in North Dakota, they're on a national front. And that was one of the big conversations. I went to two sessions specifically about that, and then we had a county civil attorneys breakout session, and the people that presented at one of the other ones also presented at the county civil attorneys, because it's just such a big issue right now for everybody. So I'm guessing that we're going to see another resurgence of that in North Dakota over the next couple of years. I wouldn't be surprised if we see something initiated again this year, to be honest with you. So we got that to fight. The other big thing that we talked about was data centers. And it seems like every place else is embracing data centers from what I could gather from the conversation.
We had, actually Tony Clark was presented in a panel, and he's a former North Dakota PSC member, or Public Service Commissioner, I should say. He now is a director or an ED of some power conglomerate association, a national one out in DC. So they presented from the power providers aspect, other than trying to get the infrastructure in there. It seemed like it was kind of, it seemed like everybody was for data centers. There's a county specifically in Virginia, just outside of DC, where they have 200 data centers within 10 miles. And it seems like they got along with it. There's growing pains, and I think that's what we're gonna have, but it doesn't seem like this is gonna stop. When this first started, I thought North Dakota was kind of one of the first states to end up with data centers, but it sounds like we're just kind of catching up to the rest of the country, because they're all over. Specifically out there, like I said, that one county has 200 data centers within 10 miles, and it sounds like they get along with them fine. So I would guess as soon as we can get through the growing pains around here, it's probably something that's going to happen more frequently, and it's probably going to be all right for the tax base, and the employment opportunities are probably, they're not going to be plentiful. There's only going to be a few jobs at each one of them, I think. But I think they're probably going to be good paying jobs, probably bringing decent people to our areas. So I'm not 100% sure that it's something that we should all look upon badly. And it's kind of funny that I went out to DC to find that out. But I think we might have to take a different look at those, because I don't think they're going to stop, and we're probably not going to stop them the way it looks.
Did you hear any talk on this? One comment that I heard from out in the workshop from a guy, this bit where these data centers are going to have to bring their own power in so that the states do not have to be burdened with it, and their first option is nuclear for these data
centers. I didn't
hear
anything specifically about nuclear power, but that was one of the conversations, was that some of these places are going to be generating their own power. So one of the biggest concerns that I've had for everybody is that if we have to update transmission, update infrastructure, that cost is going to be spread to everybody. But I think that there's ways that the PSC and other regulatory agencies are looking at it, so it doesn't bring expenses up for the rest of us. But there are places that are going to come up with their own generation, and I don't know if it's going to be nuclear or what the power generation is going to be, but it does sound like...
If it is nuclear, that'll be a whole lot more issues township-wise and state-wise that we'll be involved in listening to. But
I mean, we're kind of on a new frontier, because this is new to us. Like I said, everybody else has had experience. But I don't know what the source of the generation is, but they did speak to places bringing their own power in. So, I think this is something that we're going to have to continue watching and try to get out in front of, and maybe speak with some of those other places to find out what they're doing and get some information from them. But it doesn't sound like it's going to stop at any time soon. But like I said, I was naive to think that North Dakota was the first place that was tapped for this. We're definitely not, if you've got 200 in one 10-mile radius. So yes, that's my report from being there. It was interesting to listen to that stuff. I was kind of disappointed in that we didn't hear more information about how to regulate them, and it seemed like it was pretty positive. I think there are other people there that were disappointed that we didn't get the negative impact of it, because it seems like it's all over the nation. We're not the only ones dealing with data centers. I mean, for them to have a national conference and for that to be one of the headlining topics, and it was greatly attended, we're definitely not the only ones dealing with it. So guess that's what I gathered from there. Let's see, I don't think I have anything else.
No, and to add on to that, we're going to see lots of them in western North Dakota because of the gas, because they can run natural gas to a turbine.
Yeah, and that might be where it's going to come from.
Which can help our budget shortfall we're going to have for oil production being down, and or as we talked about stripper wells today, there's more gas in those stripper wells being pumped than there is oil. So I don't think we're going to stop it.
And
especially on a state level.
I don't know if they're a bad thing. I mean, we're going to have some growing pains. There's growing pains with everything, and especially if we're not used to this. And those companies that are coming in, they're not North Dakota companies. You can't just, we're not going to get handshake agreements. We're not going to have friendly neighbor situations. Their ideology is different than ours, and there's billions of dollars at play here. So we're probably going to have to kind of be forceful to play, get them to play by the rules. But I think at some point, once everything catches up, just like the oil situation, it took some time for things to get caught up, but it's not as bad as what people thought it was to start with. So it's going to be a moving target, I think, for a while, but I think that, especially if there's 200 of them that close, I mean, I think that's something that we're going to have to deal with. And like I said, it was well attended by all the states that were there, and there were lots of questions, and it was one of the headlining topics, so it's going to continue forward. On another note, for those of you who are farmers, I guess, I ran into Jared Hagert, who is a representative from Emerito, who just took a job with the USDA out in D.C. He's in charge of ARC and PLC and some of the ad hoc programs, so it's pretty cool that we have someone that's from North Dakota that understands our needs and that's going to be out there representing us. I actually spent last Friday afternoon trying to get logged on so I could sign up for my bridge payment, and I spent an hour or two trying it myself and contact my county office trying to work on it, and they couldn't get it figured out. I think probably between them and myself, we probably spent 3 or 4 hours on it. So we gave up on it. I happened to run into him on Sunday night when I was out there. He was out meeting with the lobbyists that we went to a basketball game with. And I told him what was going on. He told me to call him at 7 o'clock when he got to his office on Monday morning. Within 20 minutes, I had a new link so I could get signed up, and I shared it with the local office, and they knew nothing of it. So it was kind of cool to be able to do that, to share that with the local office. So I think it's going to be super helpful to have someone that represents us out there. And to me, he seems like a pretty good guy. I'm guessing, Larry, you know him pretty well as well.
Yeah, he's one of my District 20 guys.
And as far as I know, I think he's going to be great for North Dakota out there, so it's pretty cool to see him out there. He was super helpful on Monday morning, that's for sure.
So I was hoping to see him as the next chair of the House Tax Committee.
Well, I think he would have been up the chairs, I think. I think he's a good guy, and I think he's a pretty darn smart guy. And it sucks to see him leave our legislature, but it's pretty cool to see the big footprint that he's going to have for us out there.
I thought that link that he sent me?
Yep.
Okay,
moving on. Workshop. I guess first thing I would like to say is thank you, Barb, Larry, Mark, for all the work that you did for these 16 workshops that we put on across the state. I really enjoyed traveling and being a part of them with you guys. Thank you. Larry, you've got anything on these workshops?
Well, we have a different route for future tours. The second week would be better off if we started in Jamestown and worked our way east and then north and then west. We'd end up Devil's Lake and then Pezenden. We get away from that big run across the state at the end.
Is this the backtracking?
Yeah, the backtracking. This Pezenden stop was an add-on thing. We already had the thing laid out to end down in Castleton. And the guy that was the president of the Wells County Association back then got a hold of Ken Yantis and convinced him that we should come up here for one of the workshops at the end. So we came up here for this one, and it just became a tradition. But I think looking at it analytically, it just makes more sense to go the other way and just end up here rather than all that backtracking. Except on the net miles, but. There are a lot of technical difficulties. Trying to get Zoom to work, it was rare when you could have everything working on that.
Zoom and mic batteries seem to be the biggest issues.
Yeah.
That Zoom is always giving us trouble.
Yeah, just well, we had some really good results midweek until we got to Devil's Lake. And then a couple of IT guys got at my computer, and I don't know what the heck they did to it, but it had bad sound on it ever since. Bad sound for the Zoom connection. Gonna have to go through all the internal settings on it to compare it to the other machine and see what's different than it now, because it sure don't work with the crap.
The gal that called me yesterday, she said that the whole thing was just blurry.
Yeah.
You couldn't hear a thing. I mean, so.
Right.
But
it's all garbled and.
Yep.
Garbled and clipped.
Yep.
Maybe for future, to prevent that and, time that we do, take your first meeting and do a recording and call it good after that and then just post it on to the website so that people can view it and.
Yeah, well, actually, a better solution would have been if, when I couldn't see to plug my system in the way I wanted to plug it in, I should have just gone out and got my own speaker to brought in. Then everything would have worked fine the whole way.
And it would have been quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the end, much faster. Yeah. But I asked if there was any way to plug into it, and they came up with this plan, and it just didn't work. And ever since then, I had trouble. They worked on it for several hours. I got there early so we could have it all set up and going, and it just never worked out. Other than that,
other thing, we've got a 2-hour time slot on each of them, and of the 16, there was only one that was under 2.5. So I mean, we're pretty much at 2.5 or a little more on every one. So, but we're backed up against county associations having their stuff ahead of us and stuff like that. But
well, then we have the whole thing of the. They start their meeting at 8:30 or 9 o'clock, and we come on at 1 o'clock, and everybody leaves, because they've been there long enough.
We had, was it Park River, we were down to, 12 or 14 that stayed, and at the very end it was even maybe down to 8.
Right.
And that was without the association meeting ahead of it. Because in Walsh County, we didn't have our association meeting yet. That's not until March 11th. And Larimore,
excuse me. That is the one, yes.
Larimore started out full, and they had for 4 hours, and then we started, and they were a cutout.
Yeah, Larimore is where we were down to.
It gets to be too much when they do it, and I know that the counties like to just for one day, they're. It's too many hours for them to
decide. So they need a 4-hour meeting?
Grand Forks, so their 4 hours was full from beginning to the end. So
and there's a lot
4
of,
hours?
It was 4 hours.
Yeah.
3.5, 4 hours. But and they filled it all with everyone only had like 15 minutes and they rolled through it. But they have everybody there. The state's attorney was there, sheriff's department, highway department. They go through basically all the different, every department was able to talk, so.
And the airport authority is big there.
Yeah, the airport authority had a talk in it, so. Well, they sure opened We started at 8 in the morning, went to 11:30, 12 o'clock, and we started at 1.
See, that's what these counties that don't have a county association, that's the thing they're missing. You know, they say, well, what do we need one for? You know, well, that's what you do. You invite your county personnel in so that they can speak to these townships. They don't realize how important it is that connection between the county and townships unless they can actually see it, you know, physically see it.
Yeah, most county hours is 2 hours long, and now they even just call it the Jason Show because they used to bring this one from the district talk, but that's me now. So. Go from secretary to the highway department to the township. I'll just stay up there and program myself for a while. Thankfully, Jamie said he'd come in and talk to him, so they don't only have to hear from me.
So I was going to ask about that at this meeting, actually. Is that all right if I go to if it's an association wants me to go to a meeting? Is that what you guys want me to do, or how do you want that handled, or do you want me to go like my local association? Do you want me to go to that meeting? What is the expectation of the board?
Well, that's where we've run into problems with Tom Moore, and that was where, you know, Tom was always good, he would go out. However, then we would get the confusion of the thought that you were, for their dues, they were getting you as a legal attorney, you know. So that's a tough one to cross, because we want to be seen and heard. However, that's a fine line where we have to deal with, you know, that.
And we have to, I think, we're advertising our legal counsel as education, and this is an opportunity to educate, a very valuable one, but we have to have strict perimeters that it can only, you can't give any written opinion, you can guide them, you can't say you need, you know, that this is what you're going to do and stuff.
Yeah, and I've actually run in that situation now. I'm going to have to go back and re-explain myself out in McKenzie County. I had someone ask me about his own. I took a look at some zoning documents that they had and told them that there was probably some issues with them in them, and sent it back, and they've now responded and said, hey, are you going to draft this for us? No, that's not what I was going to do. I took a look at it for you, and I had previously explained I'm not their attorney. I'm the attorney for the township, and somewhere there's lines that were confused. And I think that happens quite a bit. I mean, that's happened in the 10 years or 13 years I've been state's attorney. I get calls from people within the community, and they say, well, you're the state's attorney. Why can't I? I have a land dispute with my neighbor. Can you take care of this for us? No, I can't. I'm the state's attorney. I'm not your personal attorney. So I think that there's commonly a misconception for any of us. This one I'm just going to have to go back and do a better job of explaining myself, I guess. But I think I can be, in fact, since I wasn't there for the workshop, it's probably a good idea for me to go up to Walsh County and maybe do the same presentation or have something that I can go speak with them about and answer questions. I don't have any problem doing that, but I think I'm just going to draft a slide that, and most attorneys do have that as a disclosure that they're not their attorney, that if they have legal counsel, they need to speak with their legal counsel, and this is
you need
guidance.
To kind of put the example out there that you can't be illegal for them, because now what if you've got a township suing a township?
Right.
It's a double standard.
I don't think it's ethical for me to be the attorney for the Township Officer Association and then go pick up a bunch of extra jobs. That's not what I wanted to do.
That's where the confusion was always before. And then they always felt that, you know, well, I paid my dues. That's our attorney. That attorney fee should be included in that. No, it's not. It's like Dale said, that the attorney for the townships should be only strictly educational, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you are...
I'm the board's representation. I'm the board's attorney, not everybody else's. Yeah.
And you could guide them as to what they would need to have tell their attorney they need, or have their attorney, you know, you could guide them that way.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. I think we need to change, like, what your education and guidance.
And the other thing is, if a township officer reaches out to you, it shouldn't, I know it's an extra call or an extra text, but it should be a three-way. If a township officer reaches out to you, the district director for that area should also be involved in it. So he and this township person could have a talk too. And
well, we've always tried to,
you know, that's the original format, how it should have been handled, but everybody circumvents it.
Yep. Everyone, we've always tried that.
Yeah.
They should go to that director first. And if that director isn't able to, and then at that point, then they bring you, you know.
And I can know, now being here for the time I've been here, I now understand that, I understand the need for that because, yeah, I get phone, I mean, I get phone calls, not daily, but every week I get a phone call and I'm like, man, I don't know who you are. How did you get my number?
Yeah.
I can understand the need for doing that. But I also, on the same side, I also don't want to say, hey, did you talk to your representative first if they've got just a simple question? I feel kind of weird doing that too and saying I really don't want to do my job, but that's not the case. It just, I have got a number, I've had phone calls, and it's just kind of weird because I haven't, that the email, I think that's a little bit easier to say, hey, let's talk about this with your representative. But so I've been careful not to give my phone number out, but there have been people have gotten a hold of me, which isn't that big a deal. But yeah, I now understand more so because there might be that misinterpretation that I'm representing them.
But back at getting the director involved, you know, they're going to contact you and go around us. But like I said, if either you could shoot them email to the director there, or even encourage that township officer to also, after he's done talking to you, talk to the director, because it could come down now that one of the directors, they might learn something from it, or they may have another township call them, and then they can.
Yeah.
Well, that's it helps in education.
Yes, it's this is a big education opportunity.
As long as your directors are aware of it as well.
Yes.
You know, then everyone learns from it.
You know, I think Kim actually brought up a good point about putting slideshow or putting presentations up. Maybe that's something that I need to work with you guys or look into doing when we have, say we have new legislation that comes out, put a slideshow up like this so they can go watch it at their own leisure and they still get the education without, and we want to try to get people to come to the workshops, but not everybody can, and they can get some education. I don't mean to continue taking pages out of the Association of Counties, but they do have an ILG set of courses where once a month, or depending on what kind of issues are coming forward, they put a half hour or 15 minute webinar on for everybody and distribute that to everybody that's a member. So I don't know if that's something that maybe I should look at doing when there's a topic that comes up, or maybe just going back and
those can kind of be used for Township Tuesday talks and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, because when I first started for the highway superintendent, that's the way I thought it was, is that Tom was their attorney. Then we changed that around so everybody knows that, no, you're still going to have to go get an attorney if it gets down to that point.
Yeah.
We give you generalities and things, but you won't have an attorney through the association, you don't have an attorney through the state's attorney's office. When I ask them questions, when they have different things that come up, they're still going to have to go get an attorney for it. Some people have issues with it, but it is what it is. It's just that way. And for a chain of command, I don't think anybody should be really reaching out to Jamie without going through the director.
And I would recommend if people are calling you that you schedule a time for a return call with the director of that district on the phone, because that protects you, because you have an extra person, and there's no confusion on what's said, and move, go forward on that.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Is your phone number isn't on the webpage, is it?
I don't think so.
I don't think it is. I think just...
I know Tom's people getting it.
I don't think even your email is, is it?
I don't think my email even is.
No.
No, but...
It's his legal counsel.
And it's not... And I've had people call the county, and that's fine, but I have no idea how people have got my cell phone, which is kind of interesting. I'm like, hey, how are you doing? But yeah, I've had some people calling my cell phone, which is fine. But yeah, I haven't circulated it by any means. Okay. No.
Well, that's how I would just direct going forward. If somebody reaches out to the email, given any response, copy the director, and if they call, you know, and there is going to be communication to set up a time where you can conference call in your director.
Okay.
And that individual, just to, it protects all parties.
The only other comment I have on the workshops, and I know we needed to have already at our third quarter meeting in September started having to have this stuff in place and stuff. And you had already early in at our December meeting had said you had the previous commitment here, but we cannot go through another workshop tour like we did and not have that many meetings without the attorney actually there presenting. That cannot happen.
I agree with that.
The next will be 2028. February will be the next set again, and yeah, we cannot go through another work play one like we did this year.
No, and it is specific in the contract, obligations of the contract that workshop tours are in.
And you won't find an argument from me. I now understand it's going to be 2 weeks. You're going to be opposing 2 weeks, likely the second and fourth week, which now I will just set aside.
I mean, yeah, it's understandable that you might miss a day that you can't, but yeah, I said we cannot run these workshops, this many of them, without an actual person there.
That takes, by the time we set that Zoom up and we get that connection, and if we have a problem with the connection, you lose half your people.
Yes.
They're tired. They're not.
And, the thank you that I sent out to Nathan and Bev Hart, they drove to Devil's Lake because they thought you were going to be at the meeting there, and then they came today because you were here. So
okay, well, I first of all, you don't follow things as well on Zoom. I agree and understand with that, 100%. You do. It just isn't there. I've been to plenty of Zoom presentations. Yeah, I know in all that it's the second and fourth week, and those weeks will just be blocked off my calendar. And
I mean, depending whether, you know, a guy may have to shift the week,
yeah,
or something, but like I said, you have to know that February is every other year, so 28, that is going to be a workshop one. Legislative, Larry, if nobody else has anything on workshop, Barb, Mark? Oh, one other thing, okay.
I had people that came up that reached out to me after them that were wishing we would have done talk about the 3%. But they're there hoping that we talk about the 3% caps and those issues and that it wasn't addressed. Everyone I talked to liked the fact that we had the attorneys there, even though it wasn't resumed with Tom or Jamie. All of them appreciate having that access to them for listening to it that way. So I know it gets to be a problem with the technology side, but people did talk about, those were the two biggest comments that I had. And they loved seeing the picture so they could really see what a section line was and a minimal maintenance road from Marks. So those are really the three topics that were brought to me. There's so much confusion with the 3%. Doesn't that affect them or not affect them? That they wish we'd talk about that. But
I just got an email at 1 o'clock today from my auditor. Her and I work very close together regarding that 3% cap, and she was just wondering. There was an email sent out from the North Dakota Association of Counties, and was wondering if NDTOA got that, and if we were going to spread that information out to the townships. So, I don't know, did you get anything, Larry, by chance?
I'm not sure, the last few days I've gotten a lot of emails, but I haven't looked at.
Okay, okay, well, and I can forward this to you too, it come from Linda, so.
Do you know who the email came from, specifically from the association?
From Linda Sohovic.
Sohovic, okay, I can call.
It's where it came from.
I've had emails from Linda and a phone call the other day, we talked for a while about.
Because I know that that's, it's very, I just did training in Ward County, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and they were all concerned about that, but at that time, they didn't really know enough about that 3%. You know, so, I mean, she didn't answer a lot of questions, she just said, you know, do what you normally do, and if it's something we gotta change, we'll change it later, you know. So, but.
She kinda indicated it wasn't gonna affect.
It wasn't going, yeah, it wasn't going to affect us, you know.
A lot of.
A lot. It was more counties and. So.
I think you have to do that.
If you're at the 18 mills, it affects every township that's at 18 mills, right?
Yeah, well. Yes, you can increase your levy by 3%. Of whatever the dollars were you collected last year. So if your value goes up, you may not be able to levy more dollars than what you did last year. You know. And then you may be short of 18 mil, so you won't qualify for the prairie dog or the flex fund.
Sorry, and I probably should be sharing this too. I learned this at our last commission meeting in Griggs County, that funding for the flex fund from our engineer from KLJ said that unless you had money in the game, the applications where there wasn't some sort of match, they weren't selected. It seemed like everybody that had some funds that were committed to those projects, they got the projects.
That was asked today by a township officer right directly to Representative Robin Wise, and Robin Wise said that they will be going to the DOT and getting some clarification as to what's going on there, because that was not the intent of the legislature.
Matching fund is not a requirement, but it's a bonus point. And we tell people that it will really help. Letters of support and a little bit of local money, possibly even some contributions from outside sources, anything to show support. It doesn't have to be a huge amount of money, but just something to show that there is local support.
Mark, you had something on the workshop.
Yes. I just wanted to thank everybody that helped me for these last 2 weeks when I'm running around here with my bad wing and can't lift or carry anything or do my part. And I just wanted to thank everybody that's helped.
Oh, and I would thank all the directors too for the meetings in your districts that you filled in on and representing your district too. The only other thing, you know, we've kind of always wanted to be a fly on the ceiling in Barb and Mark's vehicle when they are out driving. It's dead silence. I rode from Regent to Steele. It's silence. That's all I have. Legislative Larry.
Okay, I've been invited to testify on the tax reform and relief committee on March 17th. They want information on the effect of the 3% cap on townships. How many townships were affected by it? Like
everybody.
Who's going to tell us?
Your auditors will know. I mean, that was one thing that Julie did talk to us about at our meeting, was because of the 3% and with levies of evaluations of homes, like what they have them set at, there are going to be a few townships that will drop below the 18, which will be a problem. So, I mean, like she said, it's almost like you'd be better off trying to get to your 20 mils so you have a little bit of leeway in there that it doesn't knock you below your 18. That is one thing that is going to affect some, yes.
Like our auditor told us that the land taxes are going to go up this year, no matter what. Oh, I talked about this guy.
I don't know why they don't push for a quiet zone in this town.
Lately, because there weren't going to be any changes on our market. Ours told us that at the meeting.
Yeah,
that's all of it.
But I think the main thing I want to tell them is that you guys got to make up your mind. Are we supposed to cut taxes, or are we supposed to tax ourselves to show local contribution to our transportation system, a minimum of 18 mils? It can't be on both sides of that.
No, that was brought up today. One township had said they were trying to be, you know, do right by their residents and not tax that 18 mil. However, the state basically forces them to that to get the funding.
And then they make it so, you know, it's impossible to know that you're at 18 mils until it's too late.
Right.
So you almost have to have the expanded levy ability and then get it up to 20 something just to make sure you don't fall out.
Because sometimes it's over
28. And of course, when you tell them that, you know, like you're going to, that they're going to have to have an election to expand their authority to go to 36, and they get all upset about, we can't levy 36. Well, you're not going to. You're just bringing it to the limit. The actual levy is set by your budget that you vote on each year at your annual meeting. They don't understand that really clearly.
But the forms they're all set up so that if you do want to go to 36, that you have to put on there what that number would be, right? What the dollar value is. Because I too know of townships that, well, let's move our limit, but we don't need all of it.
Right.
It just gives us the flexibility, but then that number goes on all the forms, and people think their taxes are going to double, their township taxes.
Well, but when you submit, because I mean, we levied up to 36, and you have to vote on that every 5 years. But we're only levering what our budget was. We actually are only at 31. It's like 31.2, actually.
Okay.
So I think we need to talk dollar amount and not mils on that, because that's how, when you request your budget, your auditor comes back. And I mean, we have a fairly large budget, and we're still not even at the 36 that could be allotted, right? Because we haven't asked for that. We're not going to be that. We don't need that. You know what I mean?
Right. But what I'm saying is that on the forms where you, and the advertisements that you make in order to go to that extra levy, that if your goal is to expand your levy to the 36 mils, even if you don't need it, just to give yourself the flexibility, if you put down a number on your advertisement or your form that is, instead of 36, it's 27 or 32, then that is what your limit is set at, correct?
It probably would be if that's what you're advertising.
So
it really doesn't say that in law to do it that way, because it just says that you're going to allow that you can
tax up to another 18 mil.
I think you have to actually put your dollar amount in,
right?
On that, so.
The dollar amount for the full.
Well, for whatever you want to go to.
Right.
But yeah, if you get a certain full 36, that doesn't mean you have to.
But that first year it is, right?
It's the first year, right?
Yeah.
Right.
The first year it will be.
When we raised ours, we didn't quite do it that way. We figured out what we needed more, and then we levied it at 32 mils. So, and I would assume that that's where we're going to stay.
That's how we did ours too. We didn't talk so much mil, we talked more about budget, and it worked out to be that 31.2 or 32.2, whatever. But the other thing that, you know, you have the availability to go from, say, 36 to 25, and that time frame you can go up and down, but then you have to be careful if anybody does that, because your 3% cap is really going to hurt you at that point.
I also had some people talk about the fact that they went to 36 last year, and now they were thinking that they were still going to be over the 3% cap, so they were going to have to advertise again. And we're wondering if that was going to make people crabby.
Did they use the entire 36?
I don't know the answer to that. And it's a different kind of a requirement for them, because they're not fighting with the 18. So maybe it's actually not even a valid question. I don't know, but it was a conversation that I had.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some calculations and analysis needed. That look back at, there's a difference in handling between the part of the levy that was established prior and what has been established in the fight of last election.
I'm sorry?
If you now go to expand your levy from 18 to 36 now, and you add a few more mills, so a few more thousand, the amount that you had previous has a different calculation than the added dollars.
Oh, because it pulls in the years prior?
Yeah.
Okay. So then that would put you way over, even if you were 3% over 36, you'd be a lot more than 36 according to the cut, or 3%.
There's factors for added
property
value and lost property value.
We're going to have to kind of get moving on the next one, or we're going to be here all night yet. Proposal for a legislative handout to the new, for the legislature's list. I'll give you some insight. That was
yesterday. Well, I've been thinking I needed something more a handout when we got the booth set up. The stuff we got is outdated. And yesterday I got an idea when Senator Wildman talked about what would be helpful for new legislators to be a handout from the township. Like, what is the township? How do they work? Stuff like that. And I thanked him for that suggestion, and I would really like to see some help with the artwork on that. Because I'm just kind of a plain facts guy. I just work in block letters. And
who was the, this Adam, he was with the highway department out there yesterday that was going to compile those figures for you?
Oh, yeah, the Ransom County. He had a whole bunch of figures, you know, ag volume out of that county, and loads of rock that were taken out of there for the Fargo diversion. And it was basically the economy starts on township roads, about their point. And take better care of them.
Big thing.
Need help
funding and stuff like that.
Make it small, make it very fascinating, so you don't bore them to get bore them to death. Is kind of the what we're shooting for.
Larry, wasn't that basically what you had when you did that handout for I believe it was Township 101? You had that booklet that explained.
That as a booklet. It was the slideshow.
Oh,
PowerPoint.
I must have printed it off. I've got it as a packet. To me, that was a lot of good information, you know. And I know that you did. You presented it up at legislative session at time as a slideshow.
That's something we'll be able to work on throughout the summer here and get it going, so we've got it ready when the legislative session starts.
Because I know that time too. I think that really helped a lot of the new legislators understand what we are, what the council's doing.
And that's where this generated from. I was telling Julie that I had kind of got up and gave a little speech that when we went to the last Capital Connection, the one young senator that was in the room with us there, that he was telling us the number of new legislatures that were asking him, what are townships? What do they do? What's their purpose? So that's kind of where this generated off of. And that's when Senator Wobbleman finally kind of acknowledged that he was in the room and stood up, because nobody had mentioned that he was even there or anything when we come in and introduced him or nothing.
Yeah, well, I've never seen him wearing a cap, so in camouflage.
Okay, communications. Larry, appoint their board election there.
Okay, a couple of things here. When we were up at the at the county engineers conference, ran into Keith Peach at Missouri, and he tossed an idea at me. It's a very early thought. It hadn't even gone through their legal yet, but it was one of Keith's brainchild. It's driving them nuts dealing with all these townships. His thought is perhaps instead of writing individual policy for townships, it could be a blanket policy for NDTOA. And townships that are a member would be covered. You know, the legal hasn't got everything worked out, and they probably have to get some legislative changes made too. I said, well, that'd be interesting. For one thing, it would give us one of the things we don't have now, a golden hook. Something they have to come to us for. And of course, then their dues would reflect the addition of their premium. And we could get a handle on that.
Are township premiums kind of a flat rate, or does that vary on where you are? Okay.
And that's one of the things that drives them nuts. Their agents really don't like it. They have an account that earns them a $36 commission.
So what are the premiums for townships? Are they a set premium?
$270, $280, something like that.
I think ours is close to $300.
I was thinking that ours was $380.
Three something.
$400.
So it's not enough money for those individual agents to have to deal with.
I actually think that's a great idea for a couple of reasons. I think it also forces townships to engage, because many are not. And then to be involved, so that we can be involved with them, and it may organize a few more, and or increase their communication, where there's a lack of, I actually can see that as a benefit for the organization in a lot of ways.
I would think well, so too.
For one thing, they would have to pay their dues on time, and they would have to register all their officers and their contact information when they do that. So we could get it all put together.
So who's going to chase the townships to get them to pay that part on top of their dues? Because right now is the secretary for the Wash County Township Officers Association. You chase them from beginning to end until March.
And that's kind of what it would end up through. But then you're going to have townships or counties that don't have a county organization, but we sure as the state board cannot possibly even think about chasing them down. It's got to start at the county level of getting them.
Well, I think this is a serious matter that if you want insurance, you're going to have to do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So logistically, who is going to collect the money? Is that going to be, I mean, I understand we will be, but will the townships be sending out the bills, and will Barb be the one that's tasked with calling whoever doesn't pay their dues to get coverage?
This program is, like I said, very early on, and we have to analyze just how much more work it's going to be, how much more dollars we're going to have. It may require a full-time person just to do that. If there's the cash flow to support that, that's what it is.
Yeah,
I don't think there would be a cash flow, because we already have a number of townships saying that they're not going to pay their dues this year, or if there's their protest mode, whatever the case might be. But again, I think that, we talked about engagement. It's another, I'm big on, that's another way to engage our people. If we have to hire somebody to keep track of it, on whatever.
It may require a full-time person, Larry's right, because that's, you still con your agent with NERF is still the first point of contact when you make a claim.
Yeah.
That's who they want to hear from, right? That's who they want you to contact, is your agent. So you would have to have someone that's a contact person, or maybe it goes directly through NERF at that point. But that's who, even if you contact the claims adjusters first, you still have to contact your agent.
To get a bill every year? No problem.
So does that change the requirement of being able to sell insurance? We don't know any of those things yet. Okay.
On the details.
I will just say that, I did this. This was too big of a number. Sorry. I was going to say something. So, I don't know why I just put in the number 1350 times 36, that's not quite 49,000. And I know that 1350 isn't the right number of townships, but that's just the number of
townships. One thing we've been wrestling with, the confirmant on the cash, confirmant check. We've got a big pile of those things. It's a problem for them.
Uncashed confirmant check?
Right.
Okay.
The problem seems to be they depend on the address that the agents provide for the clerk of the township. And they don't update that if the clerk is mis-elected or dies or moves away. But they keep on sending them to that address. You can't even get it out of on-claim property because it's got a bad address on it. You got to apply for that address.
It is a big struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a clerk treasurer in Ward County that there's a neighbor that used to be clerk treasurer, but that's where all the paperwork goes. Now that's been sold and there's somebody else living there, and so she goes and knocks on the door and asks if there's been any mail, because she knows they will not change that, you know. It's a hard, what do you do?
Who's the they that won't change it? The agent?
Yeah, they don't get it changed properly. So
it gets
delivered to...
They don't change your agent.
Yeah, that's, yeah. So it doesn't get changed. It's crazy. And I suppose that's what they're used to, old school, you know?
We've spent stuff in our township from them and from stuff with the state that still goes to Jerry, and Lisa's been our clerk for 3 years, and Larry's retired, but it goes to his house and he calls and tells us, hey, come get your mail.
Wouldn't it work for them just to send it to those county auditors?
That could be my suggestion, that should be sent to the county auditor.
I think that would be
forward to the current clerk.
Yeah, I think that would be the simplest. They're the ones that are there that can contact them.
Excellent. That would force the county auditors to keep up their mailing list.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't know either.
That's another.
Because some of them don't.
Some of them are 2 years behind. Three.
Well, you're not going to get a county auditor that's going to want to take on a digital.
No.
Not for what they get paid.
Especially not right now with this.
Yeah.
Caps and all that.
Many auditors that are, the auditors on the treasurer's now, because they're not replacing both positions. Our auditor, we're our third auditor in 4 years in Wolf County. That would be, they don't have the staffing to do that. So I don't see the auditors wanting to take that on a county basis at all. To push it on to directors, for us, then I'm going to be chasing eight counties worth of township officers. And I have a hard enough time chasing 36 sometimes just in Walsh County to get to do some different things done. And you give them the paperwork and tell them to give you the updated list, so we can have, I can have an updated list, and we can't get it updated some of the times even at our own meetings.
Well, we fight the townships, have always fought the townships, the counties, to get their budgets in time. So yeah, it probably wouldn't work, but that would be, I mean, that would be the easiest thing for them to do, is to get it to the townships, and this would be the time to do it at the time of the annual meetings.
It's just going to make a little extra money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. That might just put enough workload on the other auditors that they're not going to.
I don't see the auditors in the county taking it up.
No.
We don't. We have auditors that don't want to do nothing with the ATLR either now, you know. So why would they want to do any more, you know? There's some that are really good, but then we got some that aren't.
Right.
So.
Okay, we need to move on here to board election.
Okay, I was contacted this last week by Vernell Johnson of Tuttle, North Dakota. He has been on the Earth board on the other category. And he is up for election, you know, terms expiring. And the park district have put up a candidate against him. If he loses, townships will have zero representation, and the park districts will have two. So, thinking we'd probably be a benefit to support Verdell Johnson on that, and probably put out a letter encouraging township officers to actually cast their ballot rather than throwing them away when they get in the mail.
When does that one particular break typically come?
Shortly, the election is in May at the annual meeting.
I think so.
Okay. And that's for what position? The North Dakota Insurance Reserve Fund Board.
Is Verdell running for that again?
Yes, he is.
Oh, he is? Okay.
He will run one more time. So there, that's another place that
hopefully we can find somebody that could use a possible to replace him in the future, because they don't have anybody else with township interest on the board. And as it is that they're, you know, continually bashing townships on the board. You know.
Do we have a motion out there to have Larry draft a letter up, or that we can get sent out to the townships? Because we're going to need to get this done like very fast, and you've got other stuff. But if we're going to go and do a mailing, that's going to take out postage and stuff. We're going to need a motion to do this.
So
it's been moved by Lee to have Larry put a letter together to send out to the townships encouraging them to vote for Burdell Johnson. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same way. The motion passes. Larry will get a letter that we can get out to them. Old business.
Can I have one communication, Mr. President?
Yes.
Larry, did you get my note? It's been a while. I know you've been busy, but I had sent you an email about regaining the zoning authority. I got a call from a township in McLean that they want to organize. And two of the questions were number one, and it's been an unorganized township since like 1904 or something. He said it was only organized for 2 years. So would they have actually given up that zoning authority within that time period, or did that come later when the townships actually signed that out away?
So zoning in North Dakota for townships began in the 70s.
So
there wouldn't have been anything before that.
If they reorganized, does their zoning automatically come back with that?
No.
That doesn't. They have
no.
To.
They will have to enter into a joint powers agreement with the county.
Okay.
Get it back.
To get it back.
They would have been non-existent to have it to have given it up. So they, if the county would, if since the county has it, they didn't exist, so they couldn't have given it up, but they don't have it because the county has it.
I have no. Next question he had was, if you go to that procedure when they talk about the petition to the county commissioners by 25% of qualified electors that voted in previous gubernatorial general election, how does he get that information? Do they just take that residence out of the township and go to the auditor and ask who or how many voted in that township, or how is that determined that they can get those numbers?
The auditor should have those numbers to provide to them. They
if they go just if they the residents of that township,
they still should be able to narrow that down to that township. I know when I do my petition, that's I don't ever figure it out. All I have to do is 17, but the auditor comes up with that number based off of the stuff that she can look up. So I would guess they would be able to just narrow down to that township, but that should come from the auditor. Or this, and if they can't figure out, they can contact the Secretary of State.
Larry, do you remember the name of that other township or the fellow that did that one by Sakakawea? If you want to just make a note, and you've got that written down somewhere, because that wasn't that long ago. I don't think that they reorganized that one. I thought they reorganized.
Did they follow through on that?
What's that?
Did they actually follow through on that?
Well, I thought they had there. Maybe I'm wrong.
Sure, the county had a couple of them, but I didn't know there was any up there.
I thought McLean County had that one, and maybe it never went through. Maybe they just talked about it.
Oh.
I've not heard of it.
Because he called me, and I know it was just out of Garrison that they had talked about reorganizing. I thought that went through. But.
Yeah, it's like right on the outskirts of Garrison, right? Yeah,
it would have been right on the edge of the lake.
Is that Malcolm? Well,
the city.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong then. There, I thought they were on the right on the edge of the. Right on the one of the developments, right on the edge of the lake.
Okay, well, it's been a while. I don't remember seeing a particular call there.
Okay, that's all I got.
Okay. Standing committees, I passed the sheet around of what I had set up. Everybody can kind of look at those. If you have any questions, just reach out to me.
Motion to accept.
I have a question.
Yes.
With the workshop committees, where has Tom Moll on those and on these different things?
Yep.
I didn't think we had Tom underneath the contract, so I was just wondering how that.
Tom happened. Is still with us under the educational and workshop.
Okay, so how is he paid for his time for that? He's not under the attorney payment, and he's paid underneath.
We've got him budgeted in.
Budget.
Okay.
Is only be paid on need.
Yeah.
I made the motion.
Okay, it's been moved to accept the standing committee's second.
I'll second.
Any discussion? I said if you got some concerns, call me, reach out to me. Any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same way. Motion passes. The auditor RFP. Did everybody get a chance to look at the one that Jamie did resend here?
I think it just went to Larry and you, Dale. And
all right.
So I'm not sure if it went out to everybody else.
Did you say you sent it out to everybody?
No. I said Jamie had sent it. I just assumed Jamie sent it to everybody because I just printed it off on what he sent.
So I did make the draft. I went back through. There were a couple of changes. I even ran them through ChatGPT that you had suggested. I did. There were a couple that I did not change. Other ones, I understand the reason for the changing. So I made the grammatical changes that were suggested. And I guess that I think that was the majority of the changes, or the changes that were supposed to be made to the document.
Did you send them, Jamie?
I'll resend it again. Right? No. Let's see.
I can send my copy around here.
Well, as long as Lee's got it on his
right.
End or whatever, it's fine.
All right.
I can look at it on my phone, too. Sometimes I hate looking at stuff on my phone.
All right, it is out.
Larry, we've already had a motion and everything on it, so this is what we're going to go with. It can just be sent out then, right?
Do you want a motion to accept this?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Did you get a chance to take a look at any changes?
No, I thought it was fine.
Which is the website here? Wells County Guest?
It's Wells Guest, but the E is three, or, yeah, is it three?
What's the password here?
Wells Guest, but the E is a three. For the E.
There's a StageNet Guest Properties that I am automatically connected to, too.
So, while we're on this subject, is everybody getting the emails on Gmail?
I'm not. So, I'll have to work with Larry or somebody to get that squared away.
The Gmail account. Are you getting the
MDTOA?
Yeah, the MDTOA.
Gmail, well, let's outlook.
Yeah, it's Gmail on my end.
And have three offers to go to work for you.
So maybe it comes in my Facebook. Okay. Yeah, I'm getting that. Okay.
No. Mine isn't.
Okay. Okay.
Yours might just be automatically going into Outlook from a Gmail account.
It could be.
And that's where mine come into is Outlook. But some of the stuff that Larry has sent through the other one, I haven't been receiving them.
Oh, okay. So. Okay.
The MDTOA one.
Yeah, but like the Jamie's stuff that came through. Like, I haven't looked at my computer since last Sunday.
I've got email from Larry on it after I reset because I couldn't get access. After I got access, I think I'm getting on my email.
There isn't very many. So
no.
That's what I was wondering. I kept emailing myself. Trying to make sure it works.
Test.
The info packet for this meeting I sent to both addresses.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And I got that through the Gmail.
Which one did you send that on, Jamie?
The Gmail, Lee. You got to go to the Gmail one.
Yeah, your ranch.
I sent it to your ranch one, yeah.
We share.
I'll make a motion to accept it and get it on the way so you can get it done.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to get the attorney RFE sent out. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same way.
I am, because I can't read it.
Here, I can just bring you my laptop, too.
Do you want the original copy? It's hard to check on a phone.
Larry, the email address I should ask you, is that the right one, larry@ndtoa@gmail, or do you want your other one?
larry@ndtoa.
Okay. I'll make that change.
It really doesn't matter. Because they won't go together.
Okay. It looks more formal that they're at NDTOA.
Yeah. I'm trying to get that set up and verified to the point that I can do mass emailing from it and accept it. Hopefully, I can get away from it using constant contact. I don't know if I get the volume out of it you need or not.
Okay. So, and I don't know how this is done, but like the prosecutors, we all receive, it's just that two prosecutors, and it's just, it goes out to all the prosecutors that are in on this serve. Is there some way that you could do that, just so you can serve it to all the township officers instead of having individually type email addresses in?
I don't know how that could
operate. So if I, all I have to do is just type in prosecutors. I'll look and see what it even is.
You just got to create a folder with all the email addresses.
Well, but it's not my folder. It must be a web address.
I've tried that with my work county girls, and that does not work, because if they have an SRT or a reservation telephone or a Polarcom or whatever it is, the telephone company will shoot it back.
So on our prosecutors, it's just prosecutors@ndaco.org. So they must do it there's a list somewhere that just goes out to everybody. So all you have to do is type in one email address, and you don't have to worry about missing anybody. So I don't know if that's something that can be done through the website or people can register that way, but that would make it really easy for you.
Yeah, it would. I'm sure we get a lot of resistance to that from our group.
Anything
the easy way.
No, but it would be helpful. It would save you.
The motion to send that has passed. Benefica.
Are you okay with it, Naomi?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. I just got the material from Benefica. I have not had a chance to go over it.
All right. Is there a motion to table action on this until the next quarterly meeting?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Been moved in to table this to the next quarterly meeting. Any discussion? Discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same way. Motion to table passes. Who made the motion on that?
Kim.
Second was? Jason. All right. Livestock Summit.
Okay, Dale, Lee, and I were attended the Livestock Summit. Good turnout there. While I was there, I had a discussion with Amber Wood. Said that we were considering doing some more training at our annual convention and possibly involve something like a zoning commission meeting. And I raised the possibility of maybe a conditional use hearing, like for a feedlot or a dairy, something that we could work together with the Livestock Association Alliance to put together. She's excited to help us with that. The possibility for some training for our coming convention.
I think that'd be a good idea to keep us out of some litigation. Because if the things aren't done right, there's enough money involved. I actually drove by, there's a dairy going in down by Kent, Minnesota. I drove by that yesterday. And on our way back, we dropped someone off, and there's like a 12,000 cow dairy going in. By the time they get started on that stuff, when they're on a site, if someone screws up a permit hearing for zoning, they're going to put the money in suing you, because there's just so much money involved in that stuff that they're gonna pursue something. So I think that'd be a good idea to get some information out there so people follow the right way. And I would guess that maybe even the DERF would be willing to put some money into that, I bet. So it's done the correct way, so they don't have to defend a bunch of these things. Mm-hmm.
Anything else on that, or?
No, that was all on here.
All right, and we can,
Was it a good turnout to the booth?
Yeah, it's small.
Not exactly, or really, but, you know, it's kind of a, you scratch on my back, I'll scratch yours. They come to our convention, so we kind of got to go to theirs, you know, and set up.
I think we have a lot of good advertising folks, and it was important that we were there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that during the seminars and such, I mean, they referred to us, you know, as the townships, counties and such, and made sure that they knew that we were there. So I really think it was money well spent. I mean, yeah, I know what they're saying, the booth was slow, but yet the recognition that we got for being there and being part of it, you know, of that whole picture, I think was worth a whole lot more than what we
far did. Out roughly are we going to have to make a commitment? When are they going to need a commitment to do this? You know, I'm assuming they're going to want.
I think they'd be pretty flexible on it. We'll just work on it.
All right. Anything else on that? If not, North Dakota County Engineering Conference.
Well, Jason and I were at that, and they had some good conversations with, after I had talked to the group a bit there, and had some discussions with Aaron Burns and other county people. So there again, the booth traffic wasn't real heavy, but some people did come and search us out for some questions today. So.
I didn't spend time at the booth, but I had lots of people hitting me up asking me how the Township Office Association can help get the county some funding out of having to do all the flex funding stuff. Because all the flex fund stuff has to go through the county highway superintendents and county engineers. And basically, you're stuck because DOT doesn't want to do a contract with every township, and they're only going to do it through the counties and with the pass through. So, just wondering if there's anything that we could do to help them get some sort of stuff for their time out of it.
There should be, because the counties that are helping are very good. And then maybe that would be an incentive for those counties that won't help. Maybe they would kick up a little bit and help.
That's really the only question I had about it was, how can we get something out of it?
But is that going to be something, though, that's going to have to come out of legislative session there?
I almost think it has to be, because there's nothing really in there for administration fee for anything in the applications. I mean, the engineering companies, they can get their stuff out of it for getting paid for their portions and their time that they're putting into it, rightfully so, because some of the engineering firms are willing to go out and help people beforehand to give them some estimates and do some different things. Get real estimates. Some of them are doing it for free, and some of them are doing it for minimal. Some of them are doing it for regular, and that's just those engineering firms' priorities, and that's the way it is. And I have nothing against that. But then they can get money for it afterwards. But all the contracting and still stuff, the top stuff, comes through the county. So
yeah. I would say that should be something that we look forward ahead on and try and work on something for this upcoming legislative session.
Does Walsh have a planning and zoning office?
Yeah, out of our auditor's office, they do planning and zoning, but they don't do anything for helping the townships out for these roads or different things. All that stuff basically comes through my office. from that. DOT will get the email, and I do all the permits and go through things, so I'll be helping write the specs for it and get those things taken care of. And then I do the project, all the billing goes through our office. So, I mean, some towns, some counties don't have highway superintendents, so everything goes to the auditor's office. So.
Did I hear you say that they can get some money afterwards? Or what do you know?
The engineers can, but the counties,
okay.
Like my office won't get anything. I'll put the time in for helping run it, get the contract, run the payroll through ours, do all the reimbursements, and get refunded to us. So we're basically pass-throughs for it. And it's great because our townships are getting some funding, and it's great for the county because the townships are getting funding and getting things taken care of. But it's just one more thing that's getting passed from the state to the county to the township side. You know, just same with, you know, the end of the year with having to certify the budgets. Well, it's one more thing the counties are chasing to get that money so you can get it certified so they get it turned in time. So there's going to be a lot more pushback from the county side on those type of things that are getting pushed down where they're having to find the funding and the time to do them.
What we call unfunded mandates.
Yep. It's more and more.
Anything else on the engineer conference? DOT Transportation Conference.
I think we need to reach out to Jenny on that.
On that
Transportation Conference. Because I think Gerald was lined up to sit on a roundtable discussion.
I guess that I wasn't aware of.
Yep. So we better reach out to Jenny to make sure. Because what they needed was they wanted a township officer that contracted through the county to do the work. And we advertised for one, we looked for one, we couldn't find, but Gerald said their township had, so I don't know if he's still willing to do it, to sit on that round table or not, Dale. So,
if Gerald would be.
Yeah.
I would doubt it. I got an email from him the other day that he is not running the township. And he is not going to run for our township association either.
Okay.
So I think he's giving everything up.
That's what I'm afraid of, and I don't want to leave her hanging because I.
What is Jenny? What was your last name?
I'll contact her.
Okay, all right.
Where is that?
In Bismarck, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the event center.
But that. We were looking for someone, and it's been quite a while ago, we looked to make sure that they needed it lined up so they had it scheduled, and Dana Larson was going to be on it for the counties. I don't remember who else, but Gerald had said he would do it for the townships. And, I don't know, myself, I don't know of any, most of our townships up in our area all run private contractors, so. And they need a township officer that contracts through the county so they can discuss that portion of how that works.
Well, I'll be down there for radiation so that for about the whole month.
Do you work through the county?
Oh yeah, everything contract, everything through there.
Okay. Well, that's
what time is it? Because my radiation is 8:15 in the morning, 8:45 in the morning.
And what time that starts or what?
I'll give you a timeline for you.
Let me know, Larry.
Yeah.
I'll be down there.
Yeah.
You and you would be interested in doing that for us?
Something to do.
Okay.
Well, that just so we don't leave busy.
Yep. All right.
Can you go both days?
Yeah.
What day is it?
Which day is it?
Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
I would think that the round table would only be one.
I can go on the 10th.
I thought it was 10, but I can't
remember. On the 10th, I can't hold my radiation is at 11.
I think it was only one day.
Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Saturday, Friday.
So I think that was only one day.
Oh.
That roundtable discussion.
Well, it says 10th and 11th.
Got it.
Oh.
That portion of
Well, let us know. Either one of us can do it, or both of us.
Do you work through the counties as well?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So if I can't, he can't.
I can't make it on the 11th.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that's where our convention is.
Yeah, just
but
so
the 10th, I should say.
Just so we know that we have somebody there to represent the townships, and that we don't leave the county hanging, you know, with that. Because they needed that. It was quite a while ago that they set that up and needed to have commitment that we were going to be there. So.
All right.
The agenda is posted.
Just let me know. Let Tom and I know. We can figure it out.
Does it say which date, Jamie?
Trying to fly through it quickly here. Partnership contracts with local government. Dana's on that one, and Jim Neubauer from the city of Mandan, but it doesn't say anybody from the townships. It must be on the. Let's see.
It's Tuesday. Canceled his.
Well, maybe he did. I don't.
That's
know.
Tuesday morning, or Tuesday. It's Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock.
That's at 11.
Tuesday is the 11th.
Right.
10th.
Tuesday's the 10th.
Oh, okay, great.
March 5th.
Okay.
Is a Tuesday. The 11th is Wednesday.
Yes.
Well,
whatever works out.
I don't see anything else that you would be being a presenter other than that time.
As long as one of you guys can do that play.
Okay, moving on. Scanner for bills. Barb, we've kind of already addressed that, unless you have something else. Okay. New business.
I'll look into picking up the scanner then.
All right.
For Barb.
Okay. New business. Appointment. District 2 director. Had a couple candidates that are willing to do it. Christy Jager has expressed interest in the position, and
I would like to nominate
Debbie Reinowski.
She's from Anamuse Township, McHenry County. I think she'd be very good at it.
Debbie
Reinowski.
We have a motion to nominate Debbie Reinowski. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion?
Julie and Lee, okay.
Any discussion? I would like to say, for probably about the last, I would say getting very close to 20 years, District 2 has been represented very heavily by basically three counties, Wells, Benson, and Ramsey. So it would really be nice to get over to the western side of the district from Pierce or McHenry or some of the other counties in the district.
Yeah, I can't remember. McHenry told me how many years it had been since they had had a representation there. And it was from when Mark Shipley was the last one that was there.
Yeah.
So, and that was last year when Dale and I went up, and Julie went up.
Yeah.
That was, I don't remember how many years. That's been many years.
And before Benson County, that Ralph Olson, how many years was Ralph on? So.
He was on.
So there, like I said, it's been well over 20 years that all the representation in District 2 has been over on the east side of the district. Is there any other discussion? We'll do a roll call vote for Deb as the District 2 director.
So I do have a question. You asked for nominations and there was a motion, or did I misunderstand?
Julie moved to nominate Deb Reinowski.
So what happened with, you mentioned
Christy Jager.
Jager, yeah. She had sent out an email to all of us.
She had sent emails out, yes.
So.
But we have a motion and a second. and we've had discussion on it. Roll call vote on it. Let's do a vote.
Kim?
No.
It's Kim.
Yes.
Jason?
I'm going to go no.
Leon?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Kim?
No.
Julie?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Gail?
Yes.
Six, two.
Debbie Reinowski will finish out the term that I vacated till the annual meeting in December. The motion passes.
How is that spelled?
It's Reinowski.
Thank you.
Yep.
Can you give me contact information I can put on the
website? Yes, I can. Yep. Yeah, I'm not sure if she wants to go by Deborah, Debbie, or Deb. So.
Next,
on that for you.
Report from Tim on a couple of public service commission hearings that he sat in on involving the electric lines down there. If you could kind of give us a little bit of a summary or take on it, Tim.
So, the hearing was actually the Public Service Commission commissioners were there. And the hearing started out with the attorneys for the power line company, for the applicant, asking scripted questions of an engineer answering off of a script. And that was probably 15 or 20 minutes at least, and they didn't vary from that script at all. It was a little goofy that way. The commissioners would periodically ask questions. The engineer was very uncomfortable whenever he was to answer a question off script. Then the bottom line about the opposition, it has turned into an exceptionally emotional thing. The House Bill 1258 hasn't helped. And there was a lot of testimony that talked about the power company, the companies, the applicant, that things changed after they made their initial contacts. And of course, Applied Digital being in Ellendale hasn't helped that situation. I did have an opportunity to talk to Mike Brandenburg. And I told him, we had a good conversation, but I was firm, and I told him that the situation that we're in right now with the relationships in Ellendale with Applied Digital and the relationships along this power line with the power companies that are doing it, I said, you know what? All of this angst, that's part on you, because you're in a spot to force the applicant to be respectful of the process. And the over and over again, the people that were testifying that were against it would talk about, we no longer have any trust. It's not that it was like that at the beginning. We no longer have any trust. And so, there was a lot of talk about township self-governance and standing up for the townships and blah, blah, blah. So I did not in Ellendale, which was on Monday, But I did, towards the end of the day on Wednesday, go and testify. And I'll go a little bit from my notes here from when I did that. I talked about the fact that township supervisors are tasked with the governance of their 36 square miles, and they try to do the best they can by those residents. And I talked about the fact that when the companies are using these roads, you know, that if it needs a lot of gravel, it can be up to $15,000 a mile for gravel. And townships, typically a lot of townships in that area, they have a $35,000-$40,000 budget. And then I also pointed out that, yes, 1258, I'm pretty sure it was 1258, required contractual haul road agreements between the contractors, the companies, and the local government. And I pointed out that, yeah, that's great, but if someone doesn't honor that contract, the only recourse that a township has is to hire an attorney and sue them. And on a $30,000-$40,000 budget, that can't happen. And so the townships are going to get run over. I also pointed out, because a comment was made by one of the commissioners about how frustrating it is for these companies to come out into the country, and there are such variable ordinances. And I said, you know, I understand that that's a frustration, that you don't know what you're dealing with, but I can tell you that the opposite is to have that dictated to us instead of giving us the authority to act how we believe our local townships should be run. And I said, so if you're frustrated by the ordinances being changed all over and you can't do anything about it, townships are the same way. If it's dictated to the townships, it's rammed down their throat, they have the same feeling about that. So that is kind of the extent of my report. I would say that some of the people that are opposed to this are a little bit radical.
Tim, is this a public power line?
It is a power line that goes from the substation north of Jamestown, which supplies the Applied Digital plant there, and it goes across Stutzman and Lemoore and Dickey County and goes to a substation that powers the Applied Digital at LNG.
Who's the owner of it?
The owner is, it's a joint ownership between Otter Tail and MDU.
So then, at that point, though, doesn't the Public Service Commission basically place them the towers? Don't they regulate where the towers are? Through that Bill 1258, or did that not give them that authority?
Well, the landowner has the last.
They're able to control the siting. The townships can't. 1258 doesn't give the townships the control the zoning of that with their zoning regulations. And the reason that came forward was because of this.
The PSC has that.
Right.
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 Okay, that's what.
But that doesn't mean that they're still hearing. The PSD still has their permitting hearings.
Mm-hmm. So
right, but I mean, they. The PSC will basically overrule a township, though. If a township has zoning ordinance, that's a 6-mile setback, and
right.
PSC says no,
right.
It's 500.
Yeah.
You know, the
yep.
PSC actually, but
yep.
But I understand your hearings would be there for the public.
Yeah.
So the they've had the hearings and approved the power line. These hearings were on the siting, and yes, the power companies had asked the PSC to apply 1258 to this so that they could use the state 500-foot setback for power lines from homes and I don't know what else. I don't know what it is from roads and whatnot. add, I know that there's one township in Stutzman, Corwin Township, that this affects. They had set their setbacks either a quarter or a half a mile, and the supervisor that talked to me about it said, you know, they can have five different routes through our township with a half mile setback, and we're still being told that we're not being reasonable. And so that's, yeah.
Half mile now from which, from residence or half mile from their road?
I think residence.
Was that
As a matter of fact, I know residents, because you're right, if it was from a road, they couldn't get through.
They wouldn't be able to do it.
Anywhere.
Was that you, Larry, that was saying it, or was it someplace in one of our workshops, somebody was saying that PSC ruling deal that is going to probably be coming, is going to probably end up in the courts, is what it kind of sounded like.
Yeah, I've heard that from a couple of sources.
I wonder if it maybe wasn't that night in Williston that one of the two representatives that were there said that, or possibly, or something. But someplace on one of the tours, that's what they were. It was mentioned.
Yeah, you're right. It was
I think it was Williston.
The gentleman with the white hair and the blazer on sitting over to the
right. Yeah, yes.
I can't think of what his name is.
One was Dennis, Dave was one and Dennis was the other one.
They were going to fight.
Naren, Dennis on.
Yeah, Naren was the guy.
And the other one was Dave. Yeah.
It was the dude over to the right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The gray hair. Yep.
They were going to take it to court over the fact that the PSC should not have had that regulation.
That the PSC should not have that power. Is what I gathered from it.
Well, they're challenging Title 58, aren't they, Greg? Constitutional.
So.
I'd be in takings, I suppose.
See that big power line down by us, if they want to go through, that comes from coal ship. This company come in and bought all the coal mines in Montana. And they're going to put up the biggest power line in the world. It's going to head up to Bismarck and shoot all the power to Eastern North Dakota and Minnesota. And they've come around, the son's going to have a bunch on his, and if you realize what they're paying for each power, $100,000. There's not many people turning it down. And they haven't even got a permit yet. But they want to make sure they got it all set up. They figure it'll take till 2030 for them to do it.
There might be an argument, Larry, for that being a taking. I never really thought about that before.
For that being what?
For it being a taking of private property, I could see that with the, if the PSC preempts townships, I could see that argument be made on a constitutional issue.
So, one more little tidbit about that. They call it the JEDEX power line. It's a 345 kilovolt line, I think. One of the townships has zero landowners signed up, which I think is really interesting. But yes, they are saying that they have, I can't remember if the number is 75% or 90%. Of their easement signed before they went for a siting permit from the PSC. 90 seems kind of high, and I don't know that I actually have it written down in my notes anywhere. I should look this up. You know what? I'm not going to be able to find it right away. If I find it before we leave, I'll tell you what it is.
Tim, is that the town with zero people signed up? Is that the township down by Edgeley? That's no.
That, I believe is Wayno Township. Because I know that one man that lives in Russell Township, he's opposed to it now, but he had signed early until he started finding out stuff. Like, they were told there wasn't going to be anything except connecting substation to substation. And within 2 months, everybody is, and the county is getting inundated with requests and inquiries about solar farms and wind farms and battery farms. And that's kind of where this is all coming from, is that everything changed from what they were told originally. And several of these townships have enacted moratoriums until they can research and find out what can be reasonable.
That's just it, though. Reasonable, the one person isn't reasonable.
Well, that's okay. That's where they'll fight back and forth all day long. So.
I listened to that up at Williston. One township got 6 miles set back on them wind towers, and the next one was, all you can't do that is 3. So what's reasonable?
For that one, to me, it's awfully surprising that they didn't sue Divide County, because 6 miles to me is a reasonable.
Yeah. I actually called Ward County to see what their setback was, only like 750.
Really? Typically, it was at one point. It was 3 times the height of the rotor, because they were worried about the shadows. That used to be the biggest thing when that went in down by Lake Ashtabula. There was a bunch of people in court over that. I worked on that one some, but like the industry standard was 3 times the rotor height. Now it's 2 because those towers have gotten taller. But it's that 1500 to 1800 feet is typically an industry standard.
Kind of to go along with Tim's report, so I got a packet from Tim Leppard, and this is kind of on this power line stuff too. It's kind of wondering if like NDT would go with like the Northwest and Southwest landowners. I only got one copy, so rather than to get in it, I'm going to give this stuff to Larry. Larry can put it out, email it out to you guys at some point in time here, and everybody will have a chance to look over it rather than to try and do anything with it today here.
So I found my numbers.
Okay.
77% of the land is signed up. Of the remaining landowners, which is 39, 41% are in negotiations, they're waiting to see. 10% or 4 are just simply non-responsive. And 49% or 19 have asked the companies to stop contacting them. And that's off the whole area, I think it's like 80 miles or something. So those are the numbers, I did find them.
And like I said, I didn't get a chance. Tim just handed me, I wanted him to kind of sit down with me after the meeting, but he handed it to me before the meeting was over and he left. And so, like I said, let's look at him. And the other thing that I've kind of got an opinion, you know, when somebody reaches out to us, if if you return your call to them, they're probably not going to tell anybody. If you don't return the call to them, they're going to probably tell 10 people. I tried to get a hold of him and he wouldn't talk to me. So that's all I have on that. I'll get him there.
I've been getting a lot of calls down there on a lot of different things. I think I've been returning them all. Did he say something about that?
No, he did not.
Okay.
But that's what we will run into, you know. It's. Bills.
Can I have one other item?
Yes.
I guess I'm just going to bring it up straightforward. Jason, we have had some questions on if you are a qualified township resident. And we haven't had anything in our bylaws in the past that we've actually had to bring forward oath of office minutes. But I think at this point, I guess I'll make the motion actually that the new directors bring the oath of office and minutes where they were elected or appointed. Just to clarify it, Jason, that's all we need. So,
I don't have an actual oath of office. I don't have one on me. I don't have any of that stuff. So
yeah,
it was an appointed thing where one of the guys was coming off, and I went on.
But there would be in the minutes that they appointed you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so. it should have been an oath of office signed, so you'll have to just get your clerk and take care of that.
We have a motion requiring that new directors have a oath of office and a copy of the minutes of their nomination. Is there a second?
I'll second it because I already turned mine in just to preempt a paperwork person, so I follow. Why not?
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion?
Is that for all?
Yeah.
Yes. All directors. All right, we are in discussion part. So that being stated, that also does fall on the nominating committee that they need to research or be checking that these candidates are qualified. You know, I know it. If we've got somebody out ahead of the elections, then it's pretty easy to do. It gets to be a little more tougher when you get a floor nomination. You know, that's. Any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same way. Motion passes.
Where do you want us to send them to?
Barb
or you or everyone or?
Barb. I'd to Barb to
send them to Barb.
Okay. Kim gave me hers. Well, I mean, it was there, and it was in the minutes, and I'm up for re-election, and I was like,
oh, I'll have a new one this year because I'm up for re-election too. So,
okay.
Back to consideration of bills.
Okay, hold on. Let's go back to ESC hearing number 2 that I attended, because there was a couple of things on there that I think to help townships and just things on these lithium battery facilities. When I attended that meeting in Bowbells, and the PSC commission did sign off on that on February like 16th or 19th. With hesitation, which I found really odd, if you go back to what Randy said, and that's recorded, that going forward, as far as, you know, his deal was the toxins and fire departments, because they were kind of forced to agree to this without having all of the information. But the biggest part that township residents and within the township were having an issue is, they're going to be allowed to put those 132, almost might as well just say a Connex box, but they're battery containers, and their total setback is 120 feet from, say, fence line, but 40 feet from the container to the fence is gravel, and then the other 80 is vegetation. So if those things start on fire, you're going to burn the whole countryside down. And that's where townships are having some struggles with, because there's not a very big buffer. And if something happens, they can't fight that fire. They're to stand down. And, you know, I think they're kind of looking for some help from us to go and talk about with the legislature with certain things, so that this is more of a fire hazard than anything. How do you battle that? Because
they're not fighting the setback. It's only the vegetation area that...
Yeah, to make it a little bit bigger buffer, because you have 40 feet to your fence that's going to be gravel, and then there's another 80 that's their technical perimeter setback, but that's prairie grass. Like, there isn't a very big...
So there's 40 feet of gravel and then 80 feet towards the fence? The fence is
up to 40 feet.
Oh.
And then they have a perimeter outside the fence of another 80 feet that's technically their setback, but that's all, like, prairie. And they can't fight those fires. If they start on fire, they are to let them burn. So whatever ember, whatever, they are to be, you know, away on the wind side, watching where that's at, and they're to let them burn out. Well, you could light a whole countryside on fire that way.
I would guess that's not going to be much of a battle to fight with those companies, because in in comparison with the money that they're putting into those batteries, I'm guessing it'd be good neighbors. Just a simple conversation would probably help that.
The same company that has a battery down by your area, there's a battery that's been put in down in that Ellendale area.
Oh,
somewhere.
I didn't even know that.
Out of Florida, NextEra Energy.
NextEra.
To the west of that, they're putting up there in, gosh, what county is it?
Emmons County has one, a battery storage.
Okay. And I think there's one to the east of that going in, too.
There's two or three
more proposed. McIntosh County, I think, is getting one proposed, yeah.
I think McIntosh.
McIntosh is proposing one. But I think that's probably easily workable with the relationship with the company. I wouldn't see with the amount of money they're putting in. I actually have some buddies that sold some land in the Northwest to a battery company, and they paid $20,000 an acre for 40 acres. So I'm guessing an extra $10,000 for gravel is probably not going to be something that they're really going to cause too much trouble with.
So what did you say the PSC's action was?
Well, they approved it, but it was odd that they approved it based on, I emailed all this stuff to myself so that I could actually, how he said. So while approving the project, PSC Chairman Randy Christman noted concerns regarding fire risks and urged future applicants to provide more information on potential toxic releases to local emergency officials a little sooner in the process so that they aren't just agreeing to something that they had no idea about. If you go and pull, he has a video where he actually says it when he's sitting basically on the dais.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, well, you admitted that you kind of got railroaded on this, and you still agreed to it without providing that information then after the fact. Like, they didn't know about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. So, this GenX power line, the original approval for the power line, the PSC approved 2-1, and Randy Christman was the dissenting vote. And then as he was starting these hearings out in Edgley for the siting permit for that JetX power line, he just came right out and said, you have to understand that we'll listen to all your testimony and then we are required to abide by the law. So in other words, he was just saying, all right, everybody that's opposed to this, he might just as well go, because 1258 is gonna preempt everything.
That's the same statement that we used. You just, when they were working on the seal,
I think that's what he explained to us. So he was the one that spoke to us, right? In, 2 years? Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I guess I seemed to kind of get that from him. But that was kind of the job.
And I understand that too, but I think we need to do a better job than a vetting or the process of this prior to just approving these projects.
Well, and that happens a lot with these big projects, is they kind of run over the locals. And I don't know how to respond to the fact that sometimes by the time there's a response, it's so radical it doesn't seem legitimate. Because I think you might, Tim Leppard, I know him and we've talked a lot, but he's the kind of a guy that he's unwilling to continue a conversation with somebody that he agrees on 90% of the things, that if they betray him on 10% of something, he can be in agreement with everything else and feel betrayed on one issue, and he writes you off.
Well, I said, I told him I would have a sit down with him and listen to him, and like I said, the only thing that he did was hand me the packet and walked out.
Interestingly enough, he's not a township board member.
No, I know, he's zoning, but like zoning. I said we would hear him out as the township association. And so, okay, let's get back on our track here. Consideration of bills and vouchers.
Make a motion.
The motion, is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion?
So I know you talked about the scanner and that it hasn't been up and running yet. Is there something about it that's a struggle? I mean,
we just haven't gotten it done.
Okay.
We're doing it. We just haven't gotten it done.
It hasn't been purchased yet.
Oh.
Hasn't been purchased.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Hasn't been purchased.
Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion to pay the bills passes.
Mr. President.
Yes.
One more item. The owl, Larry, we did not ask you about that. Is that to be purchased by the association?
It's mine.
That is yours.
It's mine.
Would you prefer?
We don't want it. It don't work.
Would you prefer if the association owns it?
No.
Okay. Next meeting.
Don't work, I might take it out and shoot it.
you can't be shooting owls. There's federal fines there, Larry.
Dude, and one of them is on me.
We'll clarify that. Electronic owls.
Okay, next meeting.
Are we 3 months?
June
is when it should be, someplace in June. Yeah.
That's up to everyone.
The third Monday of June does not work for me. I've got.
I don't want no Monday.
Good, good. Because that's the only one I got in there is weed board.
And have no food on Monday.
So.
And the third weekend is not good for us. That's when that celebration in town is. And you and I are working the bar.
Yeah, you
and I. Do we normally do it on a Friday or what's the
no. Usually a Tuesday, probably,
Tuesday,
right?
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works out. There's so much going on, there's a reunion every weekend.
23rd?
Yeah. How about the 23rd?
Let's put 23rd? It as the 23rd.
I have court that day.
See how you are.
Wednesday's better.
Guilty.
Wednesday the 24th.
I'm good with that. That's my one court day a month is the third Tuesday.
All right, so the 24th would work for you?
Tuesday, yeah. I'll be around that day.
June 24th.
We'll set it for June 24th.
Carrington.
At 10 o'clock.
That will work.
10 o'clock? Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. Shh. Uh-huh.
I just got an email here a little bit ago from Treasurer's Office.
There you go.
State Treasurer's Office. Hello, everyone. This is a friendly reminder that certifications for the Organized Township General Fund balance are due to our office March 13, 2026. Each county with Organized Township should have received a spreadsheet for your county in December. So that's in the process.
Yep.
Townships that haven't given their information will not get prairie dog funding.
Only the prairie dog, not the
well, yeah,
both of them?
Both of them.
And even if you hold it over, you still get lucky. We had 12 of them we were chasing since December.
I don't understand.
I don't either.
All right, we have a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Yeah. Okay.
Kim and Julie. Meeting adjourned.